Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
Jude, a short book of only 1 chapter with 25 verses, is known primarily for the classic call in verse 3 to contend for the faith. Yet in addition to this well-known passage, it also contains some marvelous utterances that help bring the believer into a rich and glorious experience of the divine life, and even some practical help on how not just to live in a godly manner, but how to live in the triune God himself. Listen to verses 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Francis Ball is with us as we have just a few days to fellowship this matter. The book of Jude, a short book, but quite a bit here, isn't there, Francis?
There is a great deal of marvelous, recognized truth in these few verses.
Let's talk about these verses a little bit. One of the things I think that's quite striking, we'll see Witness Lee point out as we get into the program, these two verses that I just read not only reveal some practical items, building ourselves up in our faith and praying in the Spirit and awaiting the mercy of the Lord, it also is a very clear, or maybe somewhat hidden, but nonetheless very definite reference to the triune God, isn't it, Francis?
Yes, there is. It's quite amazing how this weaves into so much of the writings of these apostles in the New Testament.
Let's just get right to Witness Lee in the first portion today. Really, he'll focus at this point on this first verse that I read just a moment ago. But you, beloved, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit.
Jude charges us to be built up in the holy faith and living in the triune God. We have to find out what is the holy faith here. It is the precious things of the New Testament in which we believe for our salvation in Christ. The subjective faith is always produced by the objective faith. Faith is always, firstly, the truths carried and conveyed in the Word of God. The written Word of God in the Bible and the spoken Word in the genuine and proper preaching teaching. These words always contain the truths and convey the truth to us. And whenever the truth is mentioned, it refers to the reality of what God is and the reality of what God has gone through. The truth as the reality includes all these facts. Okay? When we listen to these words containing all the truths, at the same time, the Spirit of Christ works within us. Whatever is conveyed in the Word is impressed into our spirit. And that becomes our faith. Could you see this? That becomes our faith. And such a faith is both objective and subjective. In other words, this faith implies the object in which we believe. It also implies our believing. This is wonderful. This is the most holy faith. This is not something of ourselves. No. We ourselves just don't have such a faith. This faith is a great blessing that has been given to us from God and of God, even with God. When this phrase comes into us, I tell you, God comes with it. In other words, as long as you have this faith, you have God, and you have God's redemption, and you have the regeneration, and you have the divine life. You see? And in this faith, you build up yourself.
Francis, we have several minutes to devote to this section, and there were a number of very striking points to me. Let's begin by talking about this phrase that Jude uses, most holy faith. And in this phrase, he's really implying the two great aspects of faith, the objective and the subjective. Let's touch this matter and what the distinction is between the objective faith and the subjective faith.
Well, my impression here, Chris, is that this objective faith is what's written in the Word of God and also what is spoken in the ministry of that Word. And it becomes subjective to us by our receiving what we hear. It becomes a holy faith. It is not our faith, but it is a faith that's imparted into us by the speaking of the Word and by the Word itself.
Yeah, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And he just describes a kind of process ongoing as we are in the midst of or in the presence of the objective faith, whether it's that which is contained on the printed pages of the Bible, the Word of God, or that which is being spoken in a faithful way, in a genuine and truthful way, according to the ministry of the New Testament. The Holy Spirit is at work within our being, producing something, isn't he?
I believe what you've just said, Chris, is what many of us have experienced. Even in our Christian life, we read the Word, and we even studied some of the doctrines in the Word, but it wasn't until this ministry brought us to a real openness to receive the words of the faith into us that it becomes the most holy faith, and it becomes a very subjective matter.
Francis, he, you know, many places in the Bible, in the New Testament particularly, use the word truth. We see it, you know, right at the beginning in the Gospels. And his word is truth, and he is the truth, the life, and the way. He gave a marvelous definition. Maybe you could comment here. He defined truth. He said truth is the reality of what God is and what God has gone through. And I know also in the printed message, it adds a couple more modifiers there. What God has accomplished, what God has obtained, and what he has attained. Uh-huh. All of this constitute the truth, don't they?
It is marvelous that the truth is not just what we had thought in the past, that the truth is just an objective fact that we believe that never had much to do with our inner being. But with this definition of both the Word of God and the ministry of that Word into us, that puts a faith into us that's very subjective. So we can say not only is it objective in the way of fact, but it's very subjective in the way of experience, bringing into us all the things that God has accomplished and all that he is, that he's attained to, and what he has obtained and attained, as you mentioned.
Yeah, the final point in this portion that he touched is that along with this faith, or when this faith begins to operate in us, this faith that is not of ourselves, but that which is really of God and from God, when it comes, it also comes with God, doesn't it?
That is the mystery, but that's a marvelous subjective reality.
Talk about that, Francis, what it is to experience not just the aspect of believing, but a kind of holy faith whereby the very being, the very person of God in Christ accompanies that faith within our own realization and in our own experience.
I think we both can testify to the fact that as the Word has been ministered to us in this kind of way, it imparts all the attainments of God and all the person of Christ, all that he is made real in us experientially. In our experience, he becomes the truth. He's not just an objective doctrine, but he is the truth, the reality of the facts of all that God is and all that he's accomplished, everything that he's attained to, is now made ours by this holy faith, which is a subjective realization of all that he is.
Francis, we're going to get into these two verses that bring out these wonderful aspects, beginning with building ourselves up in the most holy faith. Then it goes on to praying in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to find out that the building up here is related to the praying in the Spirit, not in an individualistic way, but in a corporate way. And the Spirit is something that is identified altogether in the New Testament, not just with power, as is commonly assumed by so many, but more directly, it's the Spirit of life, as it's brought out in Romans chapter 8.
This Spirit is the Spirit of life, and I think that is the most emphatic and most definite realization that Christians can have, is the realization that this faith that's put into them is a holy faith, which means that it's of God. It's not a made-up faith. It's not a believing certain facts. This faith is a matter of life being imparted into us. So building up ourselves in our most holy faith is realizing all the different aspects of what God is in His imparting and His infusing us with Himself, so that we become people of faith and even can build up ourselves in our most holy faith.
Good. Well, let's join Witness Lee for this next portion, and then we'll have a chance to come back and fellowship more.
You have to know, here the building is not individualistic. It is something corporate. You see, build yourselves. Plural, build yourselves. If you are going to build up yourself, you have to do it in a corporate way. That is, to do it in the body, to do it in the church life. This building up is a corporate thing, that is, to build up the body of Christ. Build up yourself is to build up the body of Christ. This is why when I get on such a verse, my interest comes. I just cannot stop speaking. Building up yourself, you have a modifier to modify your building. Building up yourself by what way? By praying in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, you do not only have the power. The Holy Spirit, in such a verse, mostly refers to life. Actually, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of life. In Romans 8, it is called the Spirit of life. In such a verse, I fully, strongly say it refers to life. This is according to our experiences. Very often, when we pray, we have the sensation of life. Of life. This is precious. Since life is the real power. Have you noticed? Even with any kind of seed, you know, all seeds are tiny. I never saw a seed so big, like a baseball. Have you ever seen a seed just like a baseball? All seeds are very small. But listen, every seed and every kind of seed is dynamic. It's dynamic. Full of what? Not of power, full of life. As long as it is full of life, it is full of power. You sow this little seed into the earth. You bury it. After a couple weeks, it comes out. Tender sprouts. Yes, very tender. Yet it can break through. Right? It can break through the earth. That's life. So, building up yourself, praying in the Holy Spirit. Building up and praying should always go in pair.
Marvelous, Francis, praying in the Holy Spirit. So often, we mentioned this a minute ago, so often Christians consider the various persons or aspects of the Trinity. You come to the Holy Spirit and inevitably you think, oh, that's the aspect of power, this great power that comes upon us. We can't say that that's not an aspect of the Spirit. Certainly it is. Power is implied there. But in terms of a point of emphasis in the New Testament revelation, really to see the Spirit identified with life is far more significant, isn't it?
Not only significant, but absolutely necessary for us to be able to build up ourselves in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. To pray in the Holy Spirit is really the way the body can be built up, as Brother Lee mentioned. And this is what we want. But this cannot be individualistically praying in the Holy Spirit for building up ourselves, but to build up our most holy faith really as a corporate matter, a body matter.
So Francis, he identified the power aspect related to the Spirit, but he put it in the context here of the Spirit being really the seed of life. Mm-hmm. And any of us who are homeowners and have seen the kind of power involved with even the tiniest seed when life operates, even one that might happen to have fallen underneath the sidewalk or the driveway where there's 4 or 5 inches of concrete, that's not enough to hold it, is it?
That's right. I've seen a good number of sidewalks broken up by a little seed under the sidewalk that began to grow and sprout and cracked open the sidewalk. I remember when I was a kid, I used to have to be careful to skate around those broken places that the powerful little seed had caused.
So if we separate these two aspects, life and power, we really, I think, lose either one, or we lose both. The power comes from the operation in the Spirit of the divine life, and especially, as you said, when it's in the greater context of the building up in a corporate sense of the body of Christ. Then the power of the divine life of God that has been sown in us as a seed of life is really given a chance to operate, isn't it?
Yes, there's a good solid base on which to be built up. With this kind of power operating as a life element in us, then the more we pray, the more the power operates in a quiet way, I would say, not a obviously powerful way, but still, the Spirit is a spirit of life, and life is power.
Francis, let's go on for our final portion. We want to come back to verse 21. Let me just read it again, very short. Keep yourselves in the love of God, awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So in Jude's short but profound utterance, we now have building ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping ourselves in the love of God, and awaiting the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of this with a marvelous issue, a result, unto eternal life.
I think it's marvelous the way Brother Lee always has a way of emphasizing the triune God.
Yeah.
The God in His Trinity. And these two verses, you have all three. You have keeping yourselves in the love of God and praying in the Holy Spirit and waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming.
Tremendous. I think maybe we would have missed the Trinity here if it hadn't been pointed out as it's going to be in this coming portion, Francis. Here's Witness Lee for our last segment.
Verse 21 says, keep yourself. How to keep yourself? Building up and praying. So building up yourself, praying in the Holy Spirit, these are modifiers. Modifying the predicate keep. Keep yourself in the love of God. Are you going to keep yourself in the love of God? If you don't build up yourself and pray, you would be so easy out of the love of God. In the love of God actually means in the enjoyment of the love of God. Not in the love of God in an objective way, but in a subjective way, enjoying. Hallelujah. I cannot deny all the time, whenever I had little time thinking about it, right away, my sensation is in the love of God. I'm altogether in the love of God, not only in the love of God objectively, but subjectively, actually in the enjoyment of the love of God, in the enjoying of the love of God. Keep yourself all the time in the enjoyment of God's love. By what way? Building up yourself and praying. Building up yourself is related to the holy word contained in the faith. And praying is related to the Spirit. So you do have the word applied and the Spirit also working within you. The entire blessed Trinity is enjoyed by the believers in their praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping themselves in the love of God and awaiting the mercy of the Lord unto eternal life. You have the Spirit, you have God the Father, and you have the Son, our Lord. Don't you have the Trinity here? The Trinity is here. Praying, what? In the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, awaiting the mercy of our Lord. Three, the Spirit, the Father, the Son. I hope that you all... Now I see. Hiya. What's here? What's here? Trinity. The Trinity. To build yourself up and to live in the triune God. How to live in the triune God? Well, to pray in the Spirit and have yourself kept in the love of God. While you are doing this, you are waiting the mercy of the Lord. These things to reach.
Francis, you made mention a moment ago of a childhood memory. I was having one just as we were listening. I recall as a young schoolboy, and you have those pictures sometimes that are presented by the teacher, and it looks like a jungle or a forest, and you just see trees and leaves. And then all of a sudden, when it's pointed out, if you look just right in those leaves, you see the image of a lion, and here's a giraffe, and there's an elephant over. And you never saw it when you first looked at the picture, but once it's pointed out, then you can't miss it. I felt like that schoolboy again is... The teacher was helping us see what's really here in these verses. This is something we got quite used to when we were listening to Witness Lee open up the word for us, wasn't it?
So often we say, oh, now I see. Look, oh, I see this. Oh, my. Many times we've uttered those kind of words in listening to this ministry, because the ministry is really the faith that's being put into us, making these things so real to us. So I am so thankful to see this triune God so vividly made known to us
right.
In this very subjective way
yeah.
In this passage.
Yeah, he was very fond of pointing that out. Although he knew the great doctrines and teachings related to the Trinity and historically all of the errors and deviations, he really had this deep sort of compass bringing us back continually to the fact that God is triune for our experience and for our enjoyment.
That's right. He's not triune just so we know some doctrine, but he's or behave ourselves, but he's triune so he can be in us and be everything to us. And he's a foundation on which we can build up ourselves in our most holy faith. So we can be corporate, we can be one, we can be the body of Christ. In all these matters, this is the goal God has, for us to be built up as the body of Christ.
I think he said something we all could echo, even as he pointed out, you just considering this magnificent, wonderful triune God of ours, you can't help but have a kind of a rising up of the enjoyment of his great love towards us.
Yeah.
So we are to keep ourselves in the love of God, Francis, even as we're praying in the Holy Spirit and awaiting mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ. Very experiential, and as he said at the conclusion, too rich today, isn't it?
That's right. It really is so rich, so enjoyable.
Francis, it's always rich and enjoyable when you can be with us in the studio and help us get into these passages and bring them to our listeners, and hope you'll do it again very soon.
Well, I'd love to do that. I enjoy this time immensely.
We are in the book of Jude. We have a couple of programs to go, and we hope that you'll be with us the rest of this time as we conclude this life study of 1st and 2nd Peter and the book of Jude. And then we will go on and have some portions from the life study of 2nd Corinthians. And when we come back again, we will be then in the book of Psalms from the Old Testament, a marvelous life study. So all of that is coming up ahead, but in the meantime, we have the privilege of getting through the remaining portion, just these last five or six verses in the book of Jude. So that's in the next day or two. If you'd like to get the printed volumes, you can. Of course, we have 1st and 2nd Peter. Those each have their own volume. Jude is contained in a volume that also contains 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, so that it's in somewhat the order of the New Testament. All of these are available if you contact us toll-free at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Join us again on our next program, for more from the life study of Jude. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks so much for listening today.
Witness Lee's remarkable commentary on the life of Abraham, taken from the life study of Genesis, is now available from Living Stream Ministry in a single volume entitled Abraham, Called by God. Abraham, Called by God by Witness Lee is available at Christian bookstores everywhere, or you can order by calling 1-888-543-3788.